Let us then turn in God's Word to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of the Bible. And we will be looking at the first 11 verses of Revelation chapter 22. So let us read together the word of Almighty God. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no more night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed these things. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for their time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." Thus far, the reading of God's Word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue toward the end of the book of Revelation, we look at the river of life, and we begin to look at the final exhortations of the book of Revelation. As we look at the river of life and the tree of life surrounding the river of life, we are pointed all the way back to the Garden of Eden, aren't we? To the picture which we have there. And we are reminded that if one ate of the tree of life, he would live eternally. Well, in the new creation, we have the promise that we will be able to partake not only of the fruit of the tree of life, but even its leaves will be for the healing of the nations. We will be able to enjoy what Adam and Eve could not enjoy in the Garden of Eden. And so as we look at God's Word this morning, we need to realize what is being said here, especially in these later verses. The time's not far away. We don't know when it is. It's not for us. Jesus says it's not even for him to know the time and season. But brothers and sisters, we are to live prepared for Christ's second coming, because it will come. And we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, or the month of the year, as some people argue. But we know that Christ will come, and that this is going to be short. It is not going to be a long time until Christ returns. And so the theme that we want to see as we look at God's Word then is that we are to live our lives here prepared for the perfection of life in the new creation. We are to live our lives here prepared for the perfection of life in the new creation. In the first 5 verses, we see that God's people in the new creation rule with God in glory. In verses 6 through 11, we see that preparation for Christ's return is in worship of God now. So first of all, God's people live in the new creation, or in the new creation, rule with God in glory. Life flows from God. Notice where the river of life comes from. A pure river of life. Clear as water, or clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. The river of life flows from God into and out across the new creation. It is going to be available throughout the new creation. But it goes through the city, the new Jerusalem, in the midst of the main street. We see here the flow of the abundance of life which God supplies. We have here the river of life. In a few moments, we're going to be talking about the trees of life. Ezekiel says, Ezekiel 47 verse 1, "Then he brought me to the back door of the temple, and there was water flowing from underneath the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple south of the altar." From God's temple in glory. The water of life. Of course, there's no temple there, but there is the absolute presence of God. We have the water of life. Remember what Jesus said about the water of life. John 4:14. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And in the previous chapter of Revelation 21, verse 6, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts.'" Jesus said in the Beatitude, "Blessed are those who thirst, who hunger and thirst." And we are to thirst and to hunger for the gospel and for eternal life. And notice that it is clear as crystal. Again and again, as we look at the description of heaven, it is gorgeous, isn't it? We on this earth often have to make a compromise between beauty and functionality. And a lot of times for us as German, beauty is like, okay, got to get that to work. But we look forward to a heaven in which there is no compromise. There is no only functional. The river of life which flows from God, which represents the salvation which flows out from God, is gorgeous. And around that river, we'll look in a few moments at the trees. All this in the middle of the main street of heaven. This proceeds from God's throne. Life, even in heaven, proceeds from God Himself and from Christ. And so we have this river, not just a trickle, a river flowing with life, with eternal life from God. And alongside of that river, we have the tree of life, bearing fruit and bearing healing. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, we have this river of life. And on either side, we have the trees. Note that. Trees of life. Remember back to the Garden of Eden. One tree. Genesis 2:9, "Out of the ground the Lord made every tree to grow that was pleasant in the sight, pleasant to sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." In the new creation, we're going to have multiple trees of life. And they bear 12 fruits. Not just one fruit, but 12. Every month, a different fruit. Each tree yielding its fruit every month. So there is apparently different varieties of tree of life and of the fruit that they bear. Ezekiel 47, verse 12, again, that same chapter we looked at a few moments ago. Along the bank of the river on this side and on that will grow all kinds of trees used for fruit food. And their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because the water flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. Again, from the very presence of God comes out the water flowing, and they will bear fruit each month. Their leaves will not wither. Notice that these trees will be used for food. This isn't just going to be something where we go in once in a while and get ourselves a little pick-me-up, if you will, in heaven. Anyway. But in heaven, these are going to be our food. The tree, the fruit of life. And as if the tree and the fruit thereof was not enough, the leaves will be for the healing of the nation. How often, when you have fruit trees, you look at the leaves and say, okay, who cares? There's fruit. But not only is there going to be that which is for food, there's going to be that which is for healing. Oftentimes medicines are made out of leaves, out of herbs, those sorts of things. And the tree of life, the leaves of it are going to be medicinal for the people of heaven. If you will, the balm of heaven. Healing the ills and the effects of this world. And it, in heaven, that gets our minds going in so many different directions. There's not going to be pain. There's not going to be sorrow. And yet, there's still going to be more and more healing. Perhaps healing of our minds as we learn and understand the glory of our God. There's so many things that could be involved and we really can't even begin. I certainly can't. Maybe some are wiser than I. To get our minds about the glory of what God has prepared for us there. Hosea 6 verse 1, come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. And we will forever serve as God's people. We will serve before God's throne. We are reminded that there is no more curse. Again, our experience is so exclusively under the curse that as we struggle with sin and the effects of sin in this world, it's hard for us even to get our minds around what it means to not have to struggle with everything breaking all the time for us, with thieves that break in and steal, with moth and rust that destroy. And he says, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. We will have direct access to walk in before the throne of God the Father and of Christ into their special presence. And after my week of study on worship right now, it's hard for me not to break into a whole bunch of what the difference between the special presence and the presence of God. God is with us all the time when we're living. But as we come in here in worship in church, we have the opportunity to enter specially before the presence of God. And in heaven, there seems to be that opportunity as well. We can live within God's very special presence in heaven. He's going to be the light of it. And yet, at that same time, there is going to be the opportunity to come directly before His face, as we're going to read in a few more moments, in a manner that even the most holy people in this world can't do. Moses couldn't do it. His servants shall serve Him. Now, it's important for us to understand the word serve. The Bible tells us that we are to worship God and to serve Him. Again, we have this difference. We are going to serve God in heaven. We are certainly going to worship Him. That's assumed. But there's going to be opportunities of service in perfection. There will be glorious duties Think of how the angels fulfill the things which God calls them to do. They're not a labor, they're not a work, but service and opportunity for enjoyment. As you've heard me say, we're not going to sit in heaven forever playing a harp. There's going to be opportunity to fulfill things that we can't even get to start here on this earth. And we will be sealed as God's people. As I said, they shall see His face. Moses had the opportunity in a glorious gift by God to see the back of His head. We will come fully into the presence of God and see Him face to face. Moses, who spoke to God, we are told, face to face, only saw the back of His head. In heaven, we will be able to see and worship before God. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am also known. And His name shall be on their foreheads. Now what is that? It's a reference to baptism. Our baptism is God placing His name on our foreheads, saying, "This is mine." But we can't see it. In heaven, it will be visible. In heaven, it will be a part of who we are, fully. Revelation 3, verse 12, "But he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." God's ownership is declared on this earth in baptism, and it is fulfilled for us in heaven. And we will reign forever in the land of fadeless day. There will be no night there. We sang a few minutes ago that the night is far spent. The sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks. Dark, dark hath been the midnight, but day spring is at hand. And as Christians, we look forward to that day in which there will be no night. We think about our lives upon this earth. Many dangerous and evil things happen at night. It is a picture of wickedness. And we look forward to not spending a third of our days sleeping. We will be able to enjoy 100% of our time and use it in service and worship to God. Romans 13, verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." We will not need the light of the sun. God gives them light. God's overarching presence will light the new heavens and the new earth. Isaiah 60, verse 20, "Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended." And Habakkuk 3, verse 4, "His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from His hand, and there His power was hidden." The glory of God lighting heaven, the rays of light extending from them to light all the creation. And we as Christians will reign with Him forever and ever. We as Christians shall reign with Christ. Daniel 7, verse 18, "But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." As the Catechism notes, that we will hereafter in eternity reign with Christ over all creatures as a partaking of His kingly office. And so, brothers and sisters, as we consider and as we look at what God has prepared for us in heaven, We want to see the wonder of the life which God gives us. God's people in the new creation rule with God, serving God in glory. And I think we're going to take a break there here. I knew as I wrote this sermon this was going to be long. I didn't realize how long. So we will look forward next week to the opportunity to take a look at the second point of this sermon. And look at the preparation for Christ's return is in the worship of God now. So brothers and sisters, I pray as we've looked at this in the book of Revelation and in Jesus' teaching, that our eyes would be focused on heaven. That we would, if you will, put heaven on the map. Because it's the place God's taking us. That's where our citizenship is. We certainly live on this earth, but we are pilgrims. We are strangers here, the Bible tells us. And we live here looking forward, knowing, and that's what the next passage talks about, our time here is short. I don't care how long we live. Our time here is short. And we look forward to perfection, which God promises His people in the new heavens and the new earth. Amen. Let us bow our heads and our hearts before the throne of grace in prayer. Let us pray. We will close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, we praise You for the life which You give us. That even now, as You have given to us Your Holy Spirit, we have that foretaste of heaven. That God lives within us, lighting us, giving to us the foretaste and the joy of what You have given to us. And yet, that is only a foretaste. As we look forward to the presence of Almighty God, as we look forward to living and enjoying the beauty of the new heavens and the new earth, which are given to us even in just a little part here, as we consider the new Jerusalem and the river of life and the trees of life, which give their fruit and their leaves are there for healing. And we praise You, O Lord, that You give us these things, not because we're worthy of them, but because of what Christ has given to us and given in our place. And so, Lord, we pray that as we live as pilgrims within this earth, we might focus our lives on the new heavens and the new earth, that we would give You the glory and the honor and the praise, and that we would live holding the things of this world lightly, as those who have a city whose foundation and builder is God. And we pray these things in thanksgiving for our Savior and for the fact that we have these things because of what He did in giving His life and living perfectly in our place. And so we pray as our Savior taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.